Welcome to the How To Dressage podcast, and in this episode, we're going to look at how to choose the right dressage trainer for you. Now, dressage is a skillful sport, and no matter how good you get, you will always want to get better. Now, even the top dressage riders in the world have regular sessions with their trainer, because there is always room for improvement. Now, with that in mind, it's vital that you carefully consider the dressage trainer that you will work with over the long term, because they will significantly impact your progress and your success. So in this podcast episode, we're going to look at the role of a dressage trainer, what level of trainer you should have, how often you need to have lessons, and five steps that you can follow to sourcing and selecting a dressage trainer. So first up, let's discuss, why is choosing the right trainer important? Well, having the right trainer can significantly help or hinder your riding progress. A good trainer will help you to get to where you want to be quicker, with fewer mistakes and less frustration along the way. Now, at best, a poor trainer will not aid your progression, and you will plateau and you will feel as though you are not improving. But at the worst, a poor trainer can send you backwards. They can create faults in your riding and your horse's way of going that sadly cannot always be corrected. Now, in short, who you choose as a dressage trainer is probably one of the most impactful decisions that you can make regarding your future dressage riding success. Okay, so now that we know how important they are, let's discuss the role of a dressage trainer. Because the role of a dressage trainer is much more than just making sure that you and your horse get exercised. They have an essential job that focuses not necessarily on what you do, but how you do it and helping you to do it better. So here are seven roles and responsibilities of a dressage trainer. So the first one is eyes on the ground. So having a knowledgeable and experienced pair of eyes on the ground is invaluable, because what you can feel in the saddle and what can be seen from the ground can be very different. For example, you may not necessarily feel yourself leaning forward slightly during your trot to canter transitions, but your trainer will be able to see it. And these eyes on the ground are especially helpful when it comes to positioning your horse correctly for lateral movements. They will be able to check from the ground whether you are indeed on three tracks, four tracks, or however many tracks you want to be on, if you have enough bend, not enough bend, etc. Now, the second role of a good trainer is that they prevent bad habits from developing. So if you are always riding and training on your own, it can be very easy to adopt bad habits, and if you do them for long enough, then these bad habits can be very difficult to break. Now, a good trainer will point these out as soon as they appear, so you can nip them in the bud before they become ingrained. Now, onto the third quality is they help you to train movements correctly and logically. So as you progress through the dressage levels, your trainer can help you to teach your horse different movements, and they will know what to expect at each stage of the journey. For example, when you start teaching your horse to half pass, you won't be producing the same sweeping sideways movement that you see in the Grand Prix tests. And this is because a beginner half pass starts out much shallower and with less bend. Now, a good trainer will know this, and they will also know what a good half pass looks like at each stage when they are developing and training the movement. Now, moving on to point four, and this is that they prevent you from plateauing. So a good trainer will help to make sure that you are always progressing. They will strategically challenge you with new movements and new exercises that take you very slightly out of your comfort zone to help you improve and to increase your level of skill. Now, number 5 is that they help to troubleshoot and correct problems. So if you have a particular issue, your trainer will help you to troubleshoot it and will help you to create a plan in order to correct it. Now, if you have a particularly experienced trainer, then they've likely already encountered the problem that you are having and they will know the best way to fix it. Now, this alone can save you a lot of time and a lot of frustration, along with preventing small problems from spiraling into bigger problems, which can happen with horses if the problem is not dealt with correctly in the first place. Now, role number 6 of a good trainer is that they answer your questions. Many people think that riding lessons involve keeping your mouth shut and just doing what the instructor says. Now, although there is a time and a place for this, a good trainer will welcome your questions and they will be happy to clear up any confusions that you may be having. And then the final point, number 7, is that a dressage trainer gives you somebody to go on the journey with you. Because dressage is not a universally understood sport. Therefore, many riders find it difficult to share their highs and their lows with their families and friends because they just don't get it. Where a dressage trainer does get it. And over time, you should be able to build a supportive relationship. So your trainer should be in your corner, helping you through the tough times and celebrating with you during the good times. So that was the roles and responsibilities of a dressage trainer. But now let's answer the question of how often should you have lessons? Well, the frequency of lessons that you have will vary based on your goals, your budget, and the availability of you and your trainer. Now, some choose to see their trainer 3 times a week. Some choose only once a month. And others anywhere in between. Now, as a bare minimum, we recommend a lesson with your trainer at least once every month because this is still regular enough for you to build an ongoing relationship with your trainer and for them to get the opportunity to know you and your horse. Now, of course, if that is not possible, then just do what you can. A lesson every 3 months is much better than no lesson at all. But now we're going to move on to answer the next popular question, which is, does the trainer you choose need to be able to ride? Well, if you would like your trainer to ride or to school your horse at some point, then yes, the trainer you choose will need to be able to ride. But if that is not a requirement for you, then it's not necessary. Training and riding are 2 separate skills. There are plenty of great riders who make poor trainers, and there are many great trainers that no longer ride themselves. Now, the important thing is that they must have experience teaching at the level that you want to get to. Now, of course, it would be ideal if your trainer both rode and taught at your desired level. However, this is very difficult to find long term because many competitive riders are focused on their own riding career and therefore they have very limited time to teach. Now, as mentioned, just because a rider can perform a high scoring Grand Prix dressage test, it doesn't necessarily mean that they also possess the skills to teach you how to do it yourself. So unless you are specifically looking for a trainer who can ride your horse as well as teach you, then them being able to currently ride is not necessary. But now let's move on to the next question, and that is, what level of trainer should you have? Well, if you are a beginner, Don't think that you need a trainer that teaches only at the lower levels. A Grand Prix trainer can still help you with your preliminary dressage test. Now, it is true that some top-level trainers will only teach riders that have already accomplished a certain amount. But there are also many good trainers that will teach all levels, from the beginner right through to the professionals. Now, even if you are just starting your dressage journey, don't be afraid to contact a Grand Prix trainer for lessons. The worst case scenario is that they say no. But if they say yes, then they have the skills, the experience, and the knowledge to help you move through the dressage levels much quicker and with more success. Now, the next question is, how many trainers should you have? Well, in truth, you can have as many or as few trainers as you like. Now, it is a good idea to have one main trainer with whom you can build an ongoing relationship with over the long term, and this allows them to get to know you and your horse and to tailor the lessons to suit. But that said, don't be afraid to book the odd lesson with other trainers, because often a different pair of eyes can be a massive help. They may pick up on some small detail that was previously missed, and they may be able to give you new tips and new exercises to help you with your schooling. Now, when it comes to actually having your lessons, should you have group lessons or individual lessons? Well, both lesson types do have their advantages and disadvantages. So let's go through them. So first up, let's talk about individual lessons. Now, the advantages of an individual lesson is that you are able to work on specific areas of weakness, and the lesson can be tailored to you and your horse. And if you run into a problem during your lesson, then time can be spent dedicated to solving it, and you will also have more of your trainer's time to ask questions. Now, the disadvantages of individual lessons is that they're often more expensive than group lessons. And even though you will get walking and stretching breaks throughout the lesson, your horse needs to have a fair level of fitness to be able to work for the full 40 minutes or for the full 1 hour. But now let's talk about group lessons. So here's the advantages of a group lesson. So first up, they're often cheaper than individual lessons. They also allow you to watch others in your group and to learn from their experiences. You will have more frequent breaks during a group lesson, which will allow you and your horse to have a breather and to digest what it is that you are learning. It will also help you to train your horse to get comfortable working around other horses, which is ideal for youngsters in preparation for the collecting ring. If you've only ever ridden your horse by himself, then going to a competition and entering a collecting ring can be a very scary place for a horse, because you've got other horses whizzing past you left, right and centre. And the final advantage of a group lesson is that your horse gets used to starting and stopping and also having to wait patiently. Now, let's go on to talk about the disadvantages. So the disadvantages of a group lesson is that the lesson plans have to take into consideration the whole group. And if you experience a problem during the lesson, then the trainer is unable to dedicate too much time to it, because their time needs to be split amongst everybody in the group in order for it to be fair. And then if a horse in the lesson spooks and bolts, this can set off a chain reaction amongst all the horses in the lesson, and it can lead to some fairly dangerous scenarios. Now, some trainers may offer both individual and group lessons, and others may offer just one type. Now, you don't necessarily have to pick just one, you can do a mix of both. To keep things cost effective, many riders choose to have a few group lessons for general training, then they'll have an individual lesson so that they can focus on a progression plan that is specific to them, then they will have a few group lessons, and so on. But ultimately, the choice is yours as to what you feel will best suit you and your horse. Okay, so now that we've talked about all the general stuff when it comes to selecting a dressage trainer, let's now move on to the final part of this podcast episode, where we're going to go through 5 steps that you can follow to help you source and select the right dressage trainer for you. So the first step is you need to ask yourself the following 5 questions. So the first question, question number 1, is you need to ask yourself, are you competitive? So do you want to learn how to ride and train dressage only as an enjoyable hobby at home, or do you want to compete? The reason for this question is because competitive test riding has its own set of skills. Therefore, if you want to compete, it's best to choose a trainer with competition experience, whether that be riding, judging, or training other competitive riders. Now, the second question you need to ask yourself is, do you want an all-round education, or do you want to focus specifically on dressage? So if you want to focus solely on dressage, then a trainer who specializes in dressage is the way to go. Now, if you want to do a bit of everything, then a more all-round trainer might be a better choice. Now, that being said, you might also want to consider getting a trainer for each discipline. For example, if you event, you may want to get a dressage trainer for your flat work, a show jump trainer for your jumping, and an eventing trainer for your cross country. The choice is yours. Now, the third question you need to ask yourself is, how much are you able to budget for lessons? Now, when it comes to paying someone for their expertise, the cheapest is never the best way to go. So if you hire a low-cost trainer based only on the price, then you may be able to afford a larger quantity of lessons, but you may also receive low quality or incorrect tuition. Now, an experienced and a professional trainer will not be cheap, and you may only be able to afford 1 or 2 lessons with them. But still, they will probably deliver higher quality tuition, and it will represent better value for money over the long term. So if you are on a tight budget, then opt for quality over quantity. A few high quality lessons will yield better results than many low quality lessons. Now, question number 4 that you need to ask yourself is, are you prepared to travel, or do you need the trainer to come to you? Now, this is pretty self-explanatory, because if you can travel, this will give you a greater pool of trainers to choose from, because not all trainers will come to your yard. And then the final question you need to ask yourself, question number 5, is what type of teaching style suits you best? So do you require a strict and a firm trainer that will push you into doing what you need to do? Or do you require a more sympathetic trainer with a softer approach? Now, this should be carefully considered, because a mismatch will not result in a healthy and productive working relationship. Okay, so once you've asked yourself those 5 questions, you can then move on to step 2. So in this step, you're going to start sourcing suitable trainers and reaching out to prospective instructors. Now, often a good way to source a trainer is by watching other riders. And when you notice a rider who rides in the manner that you wish to ride in yourself, then just take the plunge and ask them directly who their trainer is. Now, alternatively, if you spot a trainer riding at a competition, then just watch how they ride and how they relate to their horses. And if you like what you see, then approach them and find out if they are taking any new clients. Now, one of the best recommendations for a trainer is that they are really busy. The best trainers do not need to advertise, and often they have full books with very little room for new clients. However, horses being what they are, clients will drop out due to lameness or other issues, so these sought-after spaces will become available from time to time. Now, if you are new to the area, or perhaps if you are new to dressage and you have no knowledge of local trainers, then you may want to have a look around online and in various directories. So if you are here in the UK, you can check out the British Horse Society Instructors Database. If you want a dressage specific trainer, you can look at the British Dressage Trainers Database and also check out the back of the British Dressage magazine and on the website. Okay, and then you can move on to step three, which is where you're going to contact suitable trainers and do your checks. So you're going to reach out to a trainer or maybe several trainers who you think will be a good match, and you're going to check that they have the following in place. So the first thing you need to check is public liability insurance. This covers injury and damage claims as a result of business practice. You also want to check for professional indemnity insurance. This covers loss or damage as a result of negligent advice. You also want to check for a first aid qualification should the worst happen. And if they advertise that they hold any other qualifications, you want to check that they do indeed hold the qualifications that they state they have. You may also want to do a DBS check, which was previously a CRB check, which here in the UK is basically checking to see if that person has a criminal record. Now, don't feel shy when it comes to asking for copies of these documents. A professional trainer will be more than happy to provide them for you. Now, once you have done your checks, you can then move on to step four, where you're going to watch a lesson and book a trial lesson. So before taking the plunge, ask your prospective trainer if you can watch them teach. Now, good trainers will be happy to allow this, but just note that you will also need their pupil's agreement, because not everybody likes to be watched whilst they're having a lesson. Now, if you like what you see, then go ahead and book a trial lesson. Now, make sure to check out the details beforehand, such as the length of the lesson and the cost of the lesson, so that there are no nasty surprises at the end. And then you can move on to the final step, step number five, and this is where you can decide if the trainer is right for you. So after you have had your trial lesson, ask yourself the following questions. So first up, did you enjoy your lesson? Because for most people, dressage is a hobby, and your lessons should be enjoyable for both you and your horse. Now, did the trainer's style suit your approach to riding and your relationship with your horse? Now, if you asked any questions, did the trainer take the time to answer them, and were the answers clear enough for you to understand? Did you learn at least one new thing? Did they explain exercises clearly enough for you to follow without being confused? Did you feel that they showed enough interest in you and your horse to warrant booking another lesson? Were they professional, or did they spend some of your lesson time chatting on the phone or chatting to passers-by? Now, unless there is a very good reason for this, such as an emergency, then this is unacceptable. And finally, will you learn from this person, or will you just get exercised? Now, if your answers to those questions are positive, then congratulations, you have found yourself the right dressage trainer for you. Now, if you did not answer those questions positively, then that's fine. Just go back a few steps and select another trainer to try. Eventually, you will find the right one. So to wrap this episode up, the dressage trainer you choose will play a critical role in your progression and your success, so it's important that you pick the right one. Now, not all trainers are created equal, and where a good trainer can catapult you and your horse forwards, a poor trainer can set you back. So take the time to go through the steps that we've outlined in this podcast episode. Make sure you know what you want from a trainer, have a trial lesson, and then analyse whether they delivered on that. And don't be afraid to try more than one trainer before you settle, unless your first lesson is so good that you can't imagine it being better. Now, if you have any questions when it comes to this podcast episode, or if you have any other hints and tips that you would like to share with us, then please do so in the comments box at the bottom of the relevant blog post on our website. And to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other free stuff, our books, our training diaries and competitions, then please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you for taking the time to listen to our podcast, and we hope that you got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff, which is available on our website, howtodressage.com, and pop by Amazon for our range of dressage books, planners, and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.